You are listening to Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.
Hey, how many's in a good mood? It sounds like you're in a good mood. I'm in a great mood today. This is the first year since I retired in January 1st, 2020, that I'm getting a little happier than I've been. Full of joy and got a lot of hope. Last November, the Lord said, keep a rearview mirror up and look back when you want to, but focus on the head, focus ahead. So I've done that in January, and something special happened in February that catapulted me into this new season. And it's really fun to be here today, to be honest. I spoke four times last year, and I told Andrew, I said, I don't want to speak, but I will because I feel like the Lord told me to do that. But I just feel great about being here today. It's not work for me. It's just going to be a whole lot of fun. My hope is that I have something to offer you to bring to the table that will be profitable to us. So it's good to be here. I was asked to do a marriage seminar, a marriage class, one of the classes here that we offered 2 weeks ago. 30 couples were there, and a lot of couples, and I only knew five of them. You know, that causes me to be excited. I met every one of them, and I asked them how long you've been coming. They said 1 or 2 years. I retired three years ago, so 1 or 2 years. They didn't know who I was. And to see that this place is growing and some of the great teaching that you guys are getting, I don't think any former pastor would be unhappy. I'm ecstatic about that, that the church isn't built on a person. It's built upon Jesus Christ. And if you do it right, it just will continue to go on generation after generation. So having said that, I always pray and ask the Lord what he wants me to speak on. And Pastor Andrew didn't give me a topic. So I chose Ephesians chapter 5, 8 through 12. And here's what it says. So I'm going to share it with you for a few minutes on this topic. At one time, you were in the dark, but now you are in the light because of what the Lord has done. He's talking about Christians, people who have made a decision to follow him. You were in the dark, but now you're in the light. Then he says, live like children of light. Why does he say that? Because even though you're in the light, even though you're a Christian, even though you're following Jesus, you can still live in the dark. You can still have secret sins that are taking place inside of you. You look good, you come on Sundays, you raise your hands, but inside, no one knows what's going on. There's something secret that's happening in you. So live, he says, like children of light. The light produces what is completely good, right, and true. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the acts of darkness. They don't produce anything good. Show what they really are like. It's shameful even to talk about what people who don't obey do in secret. Candace, would you bring me that water? Would you mind, hon? I've titled this message, thank you so much. I've titled this message, Secret Lives, Lies, and Sins. We all have heard of secret agents, secret service. We got undercover cops, undercover police officers who are really secret police. The enemy wants to remain in secret because that's how he thrives. He's like a spy. If a spy is in another country is discovered, he loses his power. Pastor Andrew talked to us about pushing back darkness in our cities last week. You have to identify the darkness and understand that it's the devil, Satan, because he's the one that fuels all the evil that's going on. If you don't cut the fuel line, you won't make a dent in what's happening. You'll cut the branches off, but you won't cut the tree down. So there's a lot of secret things that are happening. Here's what a secret lifestyle that I'm, as the way I would define it this morning. A secret lifestyle is a lifestyle that you don't want anyone to know about. It's a segment of our lives where we close the door, we lock it, we put boards up on the windows, just like you tint a car. You get it really dark, no one can see in. And we do that so that no one will know what we're really doing behind closed doors. Now listen, before I go on, some of the secret lives that we have are good. Jesus even says, don't pray to impress people publicly. Pray in secret. Go in your closet. Go do that at home. Goes on to say, when you give, don't always tell everybody that I gave this much. Now, do that in secret. I mean, I personally, if you give me something, I want to know who did it so I can write a thank you note or at least send you an email. I don't do thank you notes very much, but I do lots of emails. I want to be able to say that. But there are times when just do something good. Don't tell anybody that it's you. Do it in secret. Then there's those secret things that we do that we just, it's not bad. We just don't want anybody to know. Such as, do you know that I like scrapbooking? How many of you know that? How many of you know that I like to knit? See, none of you do. You know why? Because I don't do those things. But if I did do those things, I wouldn't tell you. I would keep them secret. Those are girl things in my mind. Okay, shut me off. I probably offended some men who literally like that, but I think it's crap. I don't ever want to be doing that stuff. Just saying. So there are some secret things, birthdays, secret parties, secret surprise parties, nothing wrong with them. But there are those secrets that all of a sudden are not profitable and good for us. They're considered sinful in many ways. Those are the sins that what we do is we lie to cover them. I publicly will tell you something so that I can keep you viewing me in a certain way, but it's a lie because it's sinful. And you need to know when you cross that bridge. I'll give you an example. It's nothing wrong with a married man taking a co-worker to lunch. Now you won't be able to find that in the Bible. There's nothing wrong with a male co-worker taking another female co-worker to lunch. But there is something wrong if he can't tell his wife about it. You see, there's a rule of thumb you're looking for. And only you will know when you're crossing that line. You cross your conscience and you can't tell. You try to keep that secretive. There's lots of different secret lies. I'm going to tell you just a few that are real. In my 50 years of ministry, I'm going to use different names so you won't know them. But one of them is Jack. I'm going to call him Jack. Jack had a lovely wife. She was beautiful. I just talked with her probably 2 months ago. I did a funeral in Fresno, and she happened to be at it with her husband. But he was cheating on her, not with just one woman, but a lot of women. And I was counseling him at the time. And I finally just said, I don't know what you think I'm going to do about this confidentiality, but I'm going to tell your wife. If I catch you doing that again, it's not right for you to cheat on her. She needs to know this, let alone all the diseases that are out there that she could be giving. I mean, there's lots of different reasons. I don't know how you think about that, but that's what I was going to do. There's a girl by the name of Shamra. That's her real name. The reason I share her real name is because she's passed away now. She had a secret life of gambling. No one knew she gambled, and it had attached itself to her, so it was an addiction for her. I've played some slot machines in Vegas. I've only been to Vegas one or two times, but I'm such a cheapskate. I think the last time I spent $2.85, I just could not bring myself to go for a lot further than that. But there are some people who get addicted, and she's lived with it. And the family didn't even find out about it until they foreclosed on the house because she spent all of her husband's money. She didn't even work. And then she died and left them penniless. There are people who've embezzled money on the job. We use the word embezzled, and it sounds like they take thousands of dollars. No, they just take a few bucks every now and then sometimes. I've dealt with people like that. I've seen women who go through a divorce and they stand before the judge and the guy, the husband says, I don't have enough money to pay alimony and I can't really support my kids very much. And come to find out that he's got several accounts with lots of money in them. Secret accounts just for his escape plan. Some people go under the table, pay me under the table, cash, so I don't have to claim it on taxes. There's lots of different lifestyles. I want to give you 5 steps that God uses to set us free from secret sins, because if you don't get free from a secret sinful lifestyle, it'll destroy you. You will become a liar. How many times, how many lies does it take for you to become a liar? When you start living a lifestyle of darkness, all of a sudden you have to lie and lie and lie to cover up your tracks. And some people are really darn good at covering their tracks. But it'll catch up with you. The message that I'm about to give you is a personal glimpse into my private life, my secret life. And I'm hoping to share it with you so that it can help maybe you, if you have a secret life, to get free. I don't believe that everyone here has a secret life, a secret sins that are going on. Some of you, and I don't have any secrets, as you'll find out. I'm an open book, have been for the last 30 years. But, and there are some here today, I'm sure that you are the same. But if I did bet money, I'd bet $10,000 that we have a lot of people here that are living secret lives. And you have secret sins that you're trying to cover up and let no one know about. I think hopefully this message will help all of you who are there, but also all of you who aren't there, so you can help someone else get free from the secret lives. It'll kill you. So my secret life that went on for about a decade, a little bit longer than a decade, was the world of pornography. Some people say, well, pornography is definitely not as bad as drugs. Well, anything that you get addicted to will cause you a downfall. In the eighth grade, I walked in through the doors of this world called pornography. And I didn't realize that whatever dark world you're in, if you are in one, whatever secrets you are keeping, if you are keeping secrets, they morph into a deeper darkness over time. Because secret worlds are based upon lust. Lust is a term in the Bible that's used for a good desire that's gone rogue. And it's reached a point where it only cares about themselves. I'm not interested in what it does to other people, how it hurts them, what it does. Shammer didn't care about her family. She only cared about herself. People in a secret world build it on lust. And lust is a fantasy. And when you go to bed with fantasy, you wake up with reality. And reality can never live up to fantasy, so there's a sense of disappointment in your life. And what that does is it propels you to go deeper into the darkness to solve the problem of that hurt and ache that's inside. Are you following me? And I started to enter this world in the eighth grade, and by 4 years later when I was 18, I wasn't addicted at that point, but it had a hold of my heart. It was a part of my life that I had been doing. I am so concerned with our young people today. It was so hard for me to get some magazines. I had to steal them sometimes to get them because they wouldn't sell them to kids. But now it's just like I don't have the answer, but you can just get anything on the internet. You just text in certain words and it's all there and you can watch. I pray for this generation on a regular basis. But by the time of 18, I wasn't addicted, but then fast forward another 4 years, which would be 8 years. I was 14, now I'm 22, and I get married. And I carried my secret life into my marriage. And that secret life in 2 years' time after we were married in 1975, it led me into not just pornography, but to having an affair. And I cheated on my wife. They say that there's two types of people, cheaters and keepers. And I was a cheater. But I'm so glad that something happened, and that's what I'm going to share with you now, to make me a keeper. And my marriage lasted for 50 years. So, and the good news is that adultery doesn't have to be the end of a marriage. It oftentimes is, but it doesn't have to be. But you do have to go through some steps. You do have to humble yourself and follow what God says. Let him direct your steps. Just do what he tells you to do, and he can save you. Best decision I ever made was to stay married, and God got me free. He did a act of grace for me, and if you're taking notes, the first thing is, he allowed me to get caught. He allowed me to get caught. Luke 12:2 says, everything that is secret will be brought out into the open. Everything that is hidden will be uncovered. There is a time. Timothy, I think it's the New Testament, says there are some people who, they're just blatantly sin. You can see it. They're doing it all the time. But there's some who their sins will follow them, and they'll be found out a certain day. He allowed me to get caught. It was a Wednesday night, and Donna went to a Bible study, and she got home about 2 hours later, and I had had a magazine, reading the articles in it. It's supposed to be funny because no man reads an article, pornographic material without, you know, just to read the article. So I get done, and trash is coming the next day, so I take it to the trash can and make sure I pick up the bag and put it on the bottom of the trash can so no one will find it. And Donna comes home, and she says, how'd things go? I said, oh, great. You know, see, you can look at me, and you never know that I'm not doing anything bad. You know, you can just come to church. You can look so good. Man, you're out just doing all sorts of hell. Hell's a good word. I can use that, right? A lot of hellish things. Things that don't come from heaven. And so, oh, it's going good. And I said, how'd your Bible study go? Oh, great, great. And she says, hey, can you help me find something? And I says, I'm too tired. I go ahead and look for it. So she looked for it. And I forgot about this. She was even looking. Come to find out, she goes outside. Maybe she threw it away. She comes back in. And she said, Tim, do we have something to talk about? I've learned those words are not good words coming from a woman. Do we have anything to talk about? Of course, I was going to say, no, not at all. But I took the second step. I got caught, so I confessed. There's never going to be a better, there's no other way to get free. You got to confess. I love what Jesus said. God's faithful and fair. If we confess our sins, he will forgive us our sins. He will forgive every wrong thing we have done. He will make us pure. He doesn't forgive you. He cleanses you. So I confess. How many times have I been ticked off when I watch the news and some person is caught red-handed, that everybody knows they've done the crime, and they stand before the court saying, not guilty. They won't take responsibility for their own life. You got to take responsibility. You'll never get free unless you get caught, first of all. And if you're here with a secret life, don't wait for your wife to catch you. Don't wait for your husband to catch you. Don't wait for someone else to catch you. You're caught today by God. So do something about it. I can't make you do anything. It took me a while. It's a process. But it started with me getting caught, and then I confessed. I took responsibility. And I said, yes, I've looked at one magazine my life, and that was it. Hey, listen, by the way, just as a note, when someone confesses of a sin, it's always deeper than that. Regardless of what they tell you, it goes a lot deeper than what they're saying to you. And so I confessed, and I said, yeah, babe, I've been struggling with this for a while now. And so I don't know what happened as we talked, but finally she went to bed. And when she went to bed, the Lord said to me, he says, I want you to write on paper all of the indiscretions that you can think of, all of the sins that you've been involved in sexually from your eighth grade entrance into the secret world until now, which was 8 years later, 10 years later at that time. I was 24 years old when I committed adultery. And I began to write them down. If you've ever had lined paper, notebook paper lined, big sheets, 8 by 11, it was full. And then I had a second page that was full. And there were times when I pre-planned sinning. You know how to plan. If I go down this street, I'll see this. If I talk to this person, this will happen. This will trigger this, and I can make it happen. But there are also times that you aren't planning to sin, but you stumble into it, and you have a certain trigger that you pull inside, and when it pulls it, you just find yourself falling. There were times where I just couldn't overpower the enemy. It was just too strong of a temptation. So I began to list those. I got emotional the first time. I'm getting a little emotional the second time. Then I woke Donna up, and I said, would you come pray for me? That's kind of humbling for a guy to do. But, you know, men, you'd be a lot better off if you really did that a lot. And wives, wake your husbands up if they're a spiritual man, too. I mean, it just helps to have someone who knows what's going on inside, because darkness grows in darkness. You know, bitterness grows in darkness. You know, sin grows in darkness. You got to come to the light. So she got up out of bed, and I said, do you want to read these? She said, no. No, I don't. I'm glad she didn't. Curiosity does kill the cat sometimes. Curiosity is not necessarily a good thing. And she said, but it was wintertime. We had a fire going. She said, I would like to burn them, though. So we burned them. And that was my breakthrough. I tell my boys, man, the best thing that can happen to you is you get caught. And the second best thing is if you'll take responsibility for it and just admit the fact that you do that. Don't lie anymore. John 8:32, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's not just talking about biblical truth. It's talking about when you're truthful with yourself, you come to grips with, I'm a loser. I'm a cheater. I'm a thief. When you come to grips with who you really are, then you start to break free so that you can start to tell others the truth. And there is a freedom that comes when you're caught and you confess that all of a sudden you get free. Well, Donna confessed, she went back to bed and I stayed up, and the Lord said, there's going to come a time, because I was a pastor in this season of time. It was just my beginning years as a young pastor, 22 years old. I became a minister, and that was 20. This was 24 when I committed adultery, and 25 now, 1996, 3 years later when Donna caught me. He says, there's going to come a time when you'll need to share before the church your sin. And that time did come, and I confessed my sin to, at that time, the church, Valley Christian Center. I was the executive pastor, and it was running about 2,500 people. And I said, before 2,500 people, I said, I've committed adultery, and I need to offer my resignation. If you have any integrity at all, I should have resigned long before that, because I was living a secret life, but I just didn't have the guts, I guess, to do it. But I stood there, and I don't want, some organizations just shift you around. Okay, let him have another church. Well, what does that do? You know what I mean? So I resigned. And then when I came to Koinonia in 2004 and they asked me to interview for being a lead pastor here, I told them as well. And some of you, just like those in the marriage class, I only knew 5 couples and there were 30 couples. Some of you don't know me and you're hearing this for the first time. Why am I sharing this story? Because I think a lot of us have secret lives. Some of us are kind of committing adultery. Some of us laid in bed, slept with someone last night, and we're here today worshiping Jesus. I'm not throwing stones at you. I'm just telling you, that's what reality is. 70% of all marriages that commit adultery is committed in. That's what I'm told, depending on how you define infidelity. So this is just honesty today. But when we share honestly, we get free. I made a decision in 1976 when I got caught by my wife. I made a decision. I am not going to live a double life. I am not going to live secretly anymore. I am going to, and this set the trajectory for my whole life and why I talk like I do. I'm not an Andrew. Andrew is a lot better teacher than I am. Believe me, he is. I'd like to think I do teach something, but man, I'm not, I don't do it that way. I envy him. I really do. And I envy people who can talk to the Word. I'm not a scholar in the Bible. But that's because in 1976, I made a decision. I'm going to be transparent. I'm going to be open. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be authentic. And maybe some people think maybe even some of you think I shouldn't be sharing this. But maybe I share too much. But I would rather have you see me as a sinner saved by grace than a person who's on the platform with a plateau that pretends he's something he's really not. So that's why I share this. Because I'm free. I do regret it, but I'm not ashamed of my past. Why? If you confess your sins, he's faithful to forgive you of everything you've done, but then he also cleanses you. So I've been cleansed. But the third step is consequences. You can't run from the consequences. What does it say? Man, it says with the consequences, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. Oh, it's painful. But afterwards, there will be peaceful harvest of right living in those who are trained this way. Oh, it's painful to get caught. Embarrassing. It's like a police officer when the lights go on. You know, you're driving down the street, and you're going a little fast, and the lights go on. What happened? I don't know if it's true for you, but my heart just goes right up in my throat. All the color drains out of me. I know I'm going to have to pay a $500 bill. All of these things. When you get caught doing stuff, it's tough. But you can't run from the consequences. The consequences for me is not the same as a regular job. You can commit adultery. You can have as many affairs as you want on a regular job, and you'll never get fired. President of the United States doesn't even get fired. You know what I mean? It's kind of, no, we're not going to fire people for that. But in the ministry, I wasn't trying to make a snide comment. I'm just, there people in positions of authority. But I lost my career. I mean, it's over. I'm not going to be in the ministry anymore. It's a big price. It was a big consequence. But I embraced that. It's okay, Lord. My fault. I can't blame you. I'm the one who made the choices. I live this way. Hey, I deserve this. I deserve nothing from him. He's already given me his life. So that begs the question, why am I still here? Because of God's mercy. And because of his grace. If I were to give you a picture, I'd say in those years it was like when I got kicked out, when I resigned and I was on the outside looking in, I was like Hagar and Ishmael, if you remember that story in the Old Testament. They've been kicked out, and they're just going to die, and they're waiting, and God finds them. I was like a person in a rowboat without any oars in the middle of an ocean, just a little speck. And I tossed a prayer up to God and said, man, I'm so sorry, and if you want to do something, do it. I don't blame you if you don't. I'd squash me like a cockroach if I were you too, but have your way, and I reached out my hand, and that's where he met me. And I don't know the total answer as to why I'm still here, because you know men have two sides of their brain. One side is dumb, and the other side is smart. I spend a lot of time in my dumb side, a lot more time than I should. But if I were to flip over to the smart side, I would say to you today, I think it's because he had compassion on me. And he looked down and he says, maybe, just maybe, I can restore him. Amen. Isn't that what our vision statement is? Igniting contagious faith in one God who what? Restores us. Maybe I can make this loser into a winner. Maybe, just maybe, I can make this cheater into a keeper. Maybe I can make him a faithful man. An honest man. By the way, I never cheated on my wife again since 1976. That was the last time I got caught. I confessed. I accepted the consequences. This isn't just my story. This is for all of us. You ain't going to get anywhere unless you get caught, unless you confess and you embrace the consequences. And don't blame anybody else for what you did. You accept it. And then the next point, let me set it up by telling you a quick story. What time is it? Okay, I still got a couple minutes. My son Eric was 16 years old. He's 43 now. Just before his 17th birthday, he and his friend decided to have some fun, or at least they thought it'd be fun, to get in the car, go down the street, and take mail from mailboxes. Just to look at it, be an irritant to others, look at the mail, and throw it away. They went to 7 homes. What they didn't know is there was an undercover police officer there. He saw them, and he stopped them, picked them up, and took them to jail. Do you know that that's a felony? They had 7 felonies against them. I was in Los Angeles with the staff. I had taken the staff down there. We had a fairly large group of people. We were watching The Lion King, a theatrical presentation. It was kind of a cool experience. I got this call in the middle of it. Looked at my phone, so I went out, and it was a police officer. Do you have a son named Eric? Donald Howard. And I said, well, it depends on what he did. I didn't say that. No, I said, yes, I do. And he said, well, we've arrested your son with a young man by the name of Steve, and they're in the detention area, and what would you like us to do? And I said, well, can you keep him overnight or as long as you want to keep him? I'm not coming home tonight. Parents, don't let your kids get away with let them face their consequences. Sometimes that's the best thing that they can do. Good that they get caught, but don't try to deliver them. Don't make life easy for them, because you'll actually make it harder down the road. So I did come back the next day and saw what was going on, got him out, and discovered that you need a lawyer when you go to court for something like that. And fortunate for me in that year, those years, I was really good friends. I was pastor, and this guy was coming. His name was Marshall Hotchkiss. He was and still is today one of the leading defense attorneys in Fresno. And he said, I'll take your case. And he did. And I don't remember what he charged me. It was so minimal. I couldn't afford him now. Let's just put it that way. But he called me. And what I learned there is you need an advocate. You need a lawyer. What does it say in the New Testament here? It says, my dear children, 1 John 2:1, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He's Jesus Christ. You will never get free from your addictions without Jesus Christ. He has to be your advocate. When you go to your secret world, you get joy from it. That's why you go. It's like drinking from a hose on a hot day, and you drink from that hose, that little half-inch hose, and water goes into your mouth, and it tastes so good. And then it tastes so good, you come back, and now you need a bigger hose, and the 3/4-inch hose, and man, that tastes good. All of a sudden, over the years, you're starting drinking from a fire hydrant now, and then some good little Christian comes to you and says, you shouldn't do that. You need to stop that. That's a bad lifestyle. And you say to yourself, I can't stop it. That's my lifeline. I've been living off this for years and years and years. I can't. If I let that go, I will die. That's deception, but that's the way people feel. You need a deliverer. His name is Jesus. And if you follow those steps, you can do the 5th one, which is repent and start, get on a new path. Well, that doesn't happen in my world. Well, change your world. You know, get on a different path. That's what repentance is all about. It's not being sorry for something. It's about getting on a different path. Well, that's about all I got today. So hopefully, let me see, was there anything else I wanted to say to you? Would you mind if I prayed for you? I'm not going to do this the second service, but I would like to ask if when we stand up, let's just stand up, okay? And prayer teams, if you're available, come on down if you'd like to. What I would like to ask you to do is, I don't want to see any eyes open. Okay, I really don't want to see any eyes. I don't want you looking around. Would you please, just, you don't have to do everything I tell you to do, but would you please do that? Because I would like to ask you, if I'm not going to have you confess, I just want to have you raise your hand if you've been caught this morning by God, and you would admit by the raise of your hand you have a secret life going on, and you'd like to take a step in the right direction by acknowledging that. Could I just see every eye closed, please, right now. Even those who raised their hands, keep your eyes closed. Just raise your hand if that's you. Just go ahead and raise it. Keep it up there. No one's looking. No one's going to see you. Eventually, you're going to have to confess, but right now you don't. All you have to do is say, you know, okay, put those hands down. Now you can look at me. There are lots of people here who had their hands up. And I knew that that would be true. I told the Lord years ago, if me sharing my weaknesses will help someone become strong, then use me. And thank you for responding. And those of you who aren't in a secret life and you didn't have to raise your hand, use this information to help someone else, will you? Because in this room today, we're all Christians. Most of us, hopefully all of you, if you don't know Jesus, come down, talk to someone, and start the process because you need an advocate just like we do. But if there's that many people in this room, think of how many people you meet on a daily basis in the workplace that are secretly living and is destroying them. It's like they got a cancer. And when you're free, it's the greatest thing. I don't have to be ashamed. I don't care if you know what my past is or not, you know, because I'm free. I spoke the truth and the truth will set you free. So Lord, today, set us free as we take steps in the right direction. Some of these people who raise their hands today, it's not going to happen overnight, Father. It's a process, but this is the first step. We got caught. Now with confession and then consequences and then releasing you to be our advocate and then setting a new path. That's going to happen in time, but it's going to be well worth the coming out of the closet to express the truth. So I don't have to be the father of, be connected to the father of lies and lie anymore to cover my steps. I thank you for doing that today. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. You can join us in person on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. or online at the same times, including Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. Visit our website at kchanford.com. Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.